Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Let the John Scott era begin.
And so it goes.
The team for tomorrow has found its new leader, John Scott.
Well, you know, he said we got to take a step back to take a step forward. We've definitely taken the step back now.
Hey, Doug, we didn't think you meant this big of a step back. Oh, man.
Wow.
Dude, this has been a pretty wild last
week.
I don't know, week.
Since the last podcast.
The draft, we have some roster moves from the Sharks, of course, free agency yesterday, some signings, some kooky stuff has happened.
Some trades.
And we're going to recap it all to the best of our ability. We got a lot of emails today about John Scott. not a positive one in the bunch, dude.
Some tweets.
So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. Where should we start, dude?
Oh, man. I guess do you want to do chronological or do we want to start with John Scott?
let's start with John Scott because I think the draft is probably the least interesting thing we have to talk about, dude.
Actually, you know, we got a lot of emails, a lot of tweets, and actually Mark tweeted us and he sort of said what I was thinking. He says, "Feel like DW was trolling us with John Scott."
My favorite tweet on John Scott was from Frederick. Sharks just signed a guy to beat up Joe Thornton until he agrees to be traded.
Oh.
But really, I think the question comes from Evil Ducks. How can you rebuild and leave spots open for young players while also signing Scott and Brown? Also, what young players? Well, part two, they do have young players, whether we like them or not. We don't know because they haven't really played in a featured role. But this is a big question, dude. And how do you respond to the signing of John Scott?
Well, certainly he was not signed to a dollar amount where he has to be in the lineup every night. He's not going to be in the lineup every night. And I guess they signed him, you know, the Sharks, I don't think are close to the cap. They don't need to make a lot of crazy, you know, movements to Worcester and things that they've had to do in the past in order to stay under the cap. They're not going to have to do that crazy stuff. So if they carry, they might be willing to carry all the way up to the 23-man roster limit. And John Scott may not be dressed a lot. And it's,
well, I hope he's dressed. Although nudity does seem to be part of the culture in the Sharks locker room. Tell the listeners who may not be as well versed on the world of John Scott. Who is John Scott, dude? How did you describe him downstairs before we started recording?
He is, I think, and I may actually be quoting from a recent hockey prospectus, he may be the worst player in the NHL.
But is it fair to say he may be one of the most feared players in the NHL?
Yes, I think that's accurate. He is certainly the largest fighter that I know of. I think the only player in the league that's larger than John Scott is Zdeno Chara. John Scott is 6'7 and 260 pounds. The guy is, I think if the Sharks were looking to create a second cast for Game of Thrones, they've now found the mountain.
Nice.
Yeah, so I they have the mountain. I think Doug Wilson might be Littlefinger, the guy who seems to have a plan but may turn out to be crazy.
Does he push Brad Stewart through the through the moon door?
Yeah. I think he pushed Brad Stewart through the moon door. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, John Scott is a feared pugilist, and unfortunately a terrible hockey player. But in the plus column, he is damn entertaining on Twitter.
I gotta say, when I read this, I was beside myself. I was so angry.
Yeah.
I took to Twitter. I looked up John Scott. And damn you, John Scott, you won me over.
I know.
His two tweets today, one of them, dude, you want to find it? Let's read it verbatim.
Okay.
Okay, so John Scott today, upon learning that he had signed with the San Jose Sharks.
Okay.
Dude, you
put me on the spot here. Oh, here we go. Here.
This is what he says. Was on the way to a job interview at Sears and got the call from the Sharks. Gonna miss Buffalo, but it's time to net goals with at Logan Couture. That's really, really funny. Oh, and look at July 1st. My phone's been ringing off the hook today. A lot of lowball offers like this one from Chipotle. Gotta love signing day. Hashtag make my millions.
Oh, my God. I love this guy already.
And then this most recent is me when I found out I had a contract offer. And there's a picture of him with a terrible mustache and a great grin.
Yeah.
So I'll say this. We have the Jody Shelley factor going on here.
Absolutely.
Which is going to be entertaining from a fan's perspective, but from people who are concerned about the well-being of this franchise and its longevity, this is not good.
No.
But for entertainment on the ice and on Twitter, fun?
Yeah. At least fun. At least fun. It takes me back to the time where they asked a bunch of Sharks players what you would bring to a desert island, and Jody said, a can of beans. We have the can of beans guy now.
So let me put it in a different light, okay? In a parallel universe.
Okay.
Okay?
Please frame this in a positive way.
Let's say this whole team of tomorrow business was never said. And the Sharks were going to continue down the path of, we're in it to win it. We're not trading away veterans. We're adding veterans, you know, maybe tweaking our core like we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those tweaks was to replace Mike Brown with John Scott. Do you have a different feeling about it if that was the case?
No.
So it's just bad regardless.
It's bad.
Okay.
It's bad. It's just bad. I mean, Mike Brown, you know, unfortunately isn't a great hockey player either, but he does have some speed and some other abilities on the ice other than fighting.
Right.
And now it seems like they have two fighters that really aren't very good hockey players.
They've got every weight class covered.
Yeah, they do. They do. Now they just need a flyweight. it's really not... I mean, and people are really... really not happy about it in terms of their emails to us.
There was
John Scott. What?
Yeah, that's a good
says
one,
Matthew.
Dude. There was a good tweet there that said something about, let's see, from Mark. How can the Sharks be looking to the futures but do so using outdated strategies from the past? Hashtag enforcers are extinct. I mean, these are great comments, and clearly... the fans who listen to our podcast are not happy about this.
Right. And the fans that
are very confused.
Mm-hmm. And they pay close attention to hockey during the offseason. They're just not happy. Charlie says, please tell me this is a ploy to get next year's number one pick.
No.
He says, I had been a big DW fan as most of his moves have been very good except for a few, but now I'm really starting to worry. Is this how you feel, dude?
Yeah, I'm worried.
I'm worried too.
And I'll say this because I'm looking at, you know, sometimes when new teams get new GMs, it doesn't always work out, right? I mean, sometimes they make bad choices and make a bad situation worse, right? Mm-hmm. But you look at what's going on in Dallas, and they brought in a guy from the outside to fix a team that was on the decline.
They brought in a guy from the Detroit Red Wings.
Right. But they brought him in from the outside, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Dallas Stars fan, there's a lot to be excited about right now.
Speaking of which.
All right. And we've got an email from a Stars fan.
Yeah.
And that it makes me concerned that Doug Wilson, as we've commented in the past, is way too close to the situation to really truly recognize the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's going to be the one that's going to be able to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
If it's
looking less likely.
If a rebuild is what's in order, and I think that they're going down that path. You know, he said that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but his actions aren't necessarily backing that up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strange.
It is
like
strange.
He's talking out both sides of his mouth right now.
It is really odd to sign these guys that aren't going to.
How does John Scott make this team better in any way?
Except for
entertaining.
Well, the one thing, you sent me a tweet from David Pollack, and I think he said or heard from somebody in the organization that the room, there was a better team chemistry when they had guys like Scott Parker and some of these fighter, Brent Myers, or I can't remember the other name that was in.
Jody Shelley.
And it seems like from, you know, the major, you know, messages that have come from the GM's office this offseason since the awful loss to LA, there's been two messages. One is the Sharks need to rebuild, and two, the Sharks have a major problem with locker room chemistry, locker room culture, whatever you want to call it. I guess if you want to put this in the most charitable light, and Lord knows we need the most charitable light right now, John Scott is... The signing is designed to help the second one and not the first one.
Right.
Is that he's going to help. You get a guy out there who will do anything for his teammates, who will literally get punched in the face on a regular basis for other guys. Go after the toughest guys in the league, the biggest guys in the league, and say, I'm not going to let you do that to Logan Couture or Matt Nieto or Tomas Hertl or anything like that. I mean, if we want to tug at the heartstrings here, what do you think would have happened to Dustin Brown if John Scott was on the ice?
Yeah, well,
when Tomas Hertl took that
we
hit?
we know what would have happened. We saw what John Scott did.
That's right.
In the Buffalo Boston situation, if you want to circle this dude and if you're trying to talk me into this, damn you. I mean, it's true. And we've talked about this in the past. When things like this have happened, the Sharks have not responded.
If we want to go back and try,
dude, what are we doing, dude? What are we doing?
We're not.
Are you talking yourself into this?
No, I'm really not. I'm trying.
You're tugging at the heartstrings.
As your attorney, I'm trying to put. I'm trying to put the best foot forward in terms of this argument. I don't know if I actually believe it, but I'm just saying that if you want to point to, if you want to look back now that we have this new information, and you want to point back and you want to look at a coworker versus teammate moment in the Sharks' recent past. That might be one of them, is Tomas Hertl getting taken out of the game and nothing happens.
Right.
Huh? That will not be tolerated with John Scott.
That's true if he's dressed.
Okay. Right. which is like a one in five chance.
All right, dude. Well, we're moving down the list
Let's go to Noah the Stars fan, because you talked about the Stars. He said, as an outsider, I think your team is having a nervous breakdown. All the talk of a tomorrow team is insanity, considering you have young and up-and-comers like Hertl and Couture mixed in with the Pavelskis, not to mention the Sharks' defense isn't too shabby. I agree you all need to get rid of Jumbo, but you could get decent pieces for now. But all that tomorrow tea talk is crazy and is only going to feed into failures for next season, as it seems they're trying to temper your expectations. He's also very happy that the Sharks lost to the Kings. Of course he had to get that in there. As you said, dude, the Stars certainly have a lot of things to be excited about right now, and I think Noah and his team is looking a heck of a lot better than us and our team right now. But that seems to be sort of the consensus among outside observers, is that the Sharks are overreacting, they're freaking out, they're having a nervous breakdown, as James Myrtle said and Noah said. I know we addressed it some last week, but do you still think that's accurate?
Well, I also heard a lot of these same people lauding the Devils for getting such a bargain with Martin Havlat yesterday. So I laughed every time I read that. It's like, you guys are high as a kite.
Yeah.
This guy is trash on skates right now, and he's not even worth the 1.5 that Sweet Lou gave him. Anyways, no, dude, no. I think that the Sharks have a problem fundamentally at their core.
Mm-hmm.
But the real issue is that if they can't change the core, which is I mean, Doug Wilson might identify this new core that he likes, but he's still got the old core hanging around for 3 years.
Right.
Because they don't want to leave. That's going to be a problem. And, you know, maybe he has pushed the wrong buttons here. But I do think it's time, you know, for Joe Thornton to move on.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with the move. Are you having second thoughts, dude?
No, not particularly. But we're certainly not... It's not an overwhelming majority here. Madeline, our BU scout, emails and says, maybe you two have an idea of what DW is doing because I have no idea. He goes out and says we're going to have a different look and that the Sharks are our tomorrow team but does nothing. Sharks signed Taylor for Dune and traded Brad Stewart, but this is the same team. If we roll out with the team next year, I can write the playoff storyline now. Maybe I'm being too harsh and should give the group another chance, but I'm tired of giving this group chances. Madeline, I think if we go and listen to what Mark Purdy said last week when he was on the show, Doug and I talked even before we talked to Mark about how maybe the Sharks are going to make a big move at the draft and yada yada. And I think Mark, in his way, sort of talked us out of that. I felt like after recording that segment with Mark and after listening to the podcast again, my expectations for what was going to happen to the draft completely changed. After I talked to him. And as it turns out, it was borne out. He was not traded. There were no major moves except for Brad Stewart, which we'll talk about in a second. So Madeline, I know this is a ridiculous request, and for everyone else who is getting antsy about it, including Doug, by the way, I think we have to try and be slightly patient about this. I think Mark Purdy said this could be up to the deadline next year. This could be March of 2015 when we see Jumbo Joe get moved or somebody else get moved. And it may even be next offseason. So while we may not be happy about it, just because we didn't see a complete overhaul at the top doesn't mean that Doug Wilson is no longer going to go through with this plan. I think he's going to go through with this plan. It just may be excruciating in how it's implemented.
I think my concern with having these guys still around as we go into the season, which of course we've talked about this over and over again, they don't have to leave. They don't ever have to leave. They could be here for 3 more years and never leave. Right. I mean, Joe and Patty, they have no moves. Mm-hmm. They could stay defiantly and mm-hmm. stay, you know, my concern is this may sound like a silly concern is let's say the Sharks start off decently,
right?
You know, yeah. And let's say the Sharks are struggling, and it's on both sides. The Sharks are struggling. They're 2-6. Joe and Patty are playing 15 minutes a night on the third line. Isn't Todd McClellan going to be tempted to up their minutes,
of course,
and move them around in the lineup as he's always done? I don't buy that they're just going to limit their minutes and play the young guys the whole time. I think Tom McClellan wants to win.
Of course. He's the coach.
So how are they going to follow through right. with this tomorrow team plan with Joe and Patty still around?
Right.
I just don't think they can.
I think that's...
Which is where it's going to get so muddy.
What if the Sharks start out even mediocre or not good and Joe and Patty are playing amazing? You know, they have a start like Patty did during the lockout. He had 8 goals in the first 4 games. You know, what are you going to do? Sorry, ride the pine, meat. You only had 8 goals in your first 4 games. I mean,
right.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
It's a very tricky situation. And Madeline, no. Well, I have no idea what he's doing. And I can't quite figure it out.
No.
Like, so far, he's made a move that makes sense and then two that don't. And then a move that makes sense and two that don't. So
right.
I am thoroughly confused. But I, you know, Mike, I'm trying to be patient. But it's hard when you see other teams around the league, you know, and we can talk a little more later about what Vancouver's doing. Someone from the outside going in, assessing a situation that was a bit of a mess and making moves that I think are smart.
Dude, let's talk about the two other moves that happened the last couple days. The second one, obviously, besides the new John Scott era, is Brad Stewart being traded. And this is a guy that we thought would never go.
Right.
Because he had a no trade clause or a no move clause even. I can't remember what.
Yeah, I think he had a limited no trade. So,
okay.
From what I read, his agent was in on this and they found a destination team that he would be happy going to and a team that was interested in him.
And he was traded to Colorado for
two picks.
Thoughts?
Good. Yeah. I mean, and no disrespect to Brad Stewart.
No.
But you see a move like that and you go, okay, good. Like
right. That's,
yes, if we're going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to be a tomorrow team. We may not make the playoffs. We may have a top 10 pick. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. We're going to go for that kind of angle here. That's the kind of stuff you need to do.
Right.
And if you're getting a second for and a sixth for Brad Stewart, I don't think that's that bad.
No, that's
you know,
pretty
considering
good
considering how he wasn't that great last year.
No.
You know? So see, I look at that and I go, okay, I get it.
Right.
And then I look at John Scott and Mike Brown
and you say,
I go,
I don't get it.
You know?
Right.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. So, dude, the other thing that was announced today, which has actually caused quite a bit of controversy on Twitter and other places, is the announcement that the Sharks are going to have ice girls. I think we may have joked about it a long time ago, or you know, maybe 6 months ago or a year ago or whatever. And you know, what's your reaction to this news?
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Why do we need that?
I have no idea.
What? Why are we making all these huge changes in the Sharks fan experience? Firing Drew Remenda and getting ice girls? I think both those are two poor decisions by
the ownership group.
By the ownership group. I don't get it. And I think based on the reaction of people that we've seen on Twitter and through the emails we've gotten today, people don't like it either.
Mm-hmm.
And is this another example of absentee owner not understanding what his fan base really wants?
Right.
What about the Sharks fan base has indicated that we need ice girls?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who.
And to be fair, it is a co-ed audition, dude.
Okay, so I guess the next question is, what's our audition song?
Well, I've been looking in my book.
Yeah.
And I was, first of all, I was immediately drawn to A Little Brains, A Little Talent from Damn Yankees. And then I know you gravitated to On My Own from Les Mis, because you're such a diva.
I know, I was going to do that.
But
I'm sure someone else is going to do that before me and ruin it for everyone.
I think I finally settled on Strongest Suit from Aida, because who doesn't love a little Elton John?
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness, dude. Should we audition?
Oh, man, that would be podcast gold.
Dudes on Hockey going undercover into the Ice Girls auditions. It is a co-ed thing. You can find it online.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's on the Sharks.
See when the auditions
site.
Are.
Yeah.
I guess we have to wait and see how different is this going to be from the Tank Patrol,
mm-hmm.
really. Yeah,
right,
I mean, like,
right. Maybe
we're overreacting. I mean, maybe we're overreacting, dude.
Yeah.
We've had the Tank Patrol, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's true. And you know, I was reading the Fear the Fin article on this where, you know, certainly the political statements were made about this being disrespectful to women and all those kinds
of
things.
It's a hot topic right now, right? With some lawsuits from cheerleaders from the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting timing for this kind of thing, because it seems like that sort of job or position is under scrutiny at the moment. And, you know, I don't know who's going to run it. I don't know how it's going to be run. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, I don't know if they're going to be, you know, pom-pom girls, you know, that kind of thing, and like do routines, or is it just going to be they're changing the personnel that's going to clear the ice? You know, I have no idea what they're going to do. But whatever it is, the photo that they chose to run alongside the announcement certainly seems to indicate, okay, these are going to be, you know, individuals wearing more flattering clothing than we're used to from that personnel. And
so they were, you know,
yeah.
two attractive
yeah.
ladies in minimal clothing.
Right.
Right? For
right.
a hockey situation.
For
right?
a hockey situation. Right? They weren't wearing full pads. Let's put it that way. So yeah, I don't like it either. It doesn't. It's going to do absolutely nothing to improve my experience of the tank. Absolutely nothing. I really don't care. In fact, it may diminish it because I make it mad. You know, have you ever seen those like synchronized skating things they have at the periods? I'm that guy who I'm like, oh no.
And you just walk out. I don't even watch that stuff.
I don't even want to watch it. They
haven't been doing those on ice contests as much, right?
I don't mind the contests.
They've kind of stopped that though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now they're going to replace it with dancing. People.
I don't know. Maybe this, yeah. It's. I don't think that there's not a good way to frame this either, frankly. I don't think that anybody's going to be excited about, hardly anybody's going to be excited about this.
Well, I mean, are they targeting the casual fan here?
I guess so.
I mean, are they targeting the casual fan? I mean, maybe the casual fan will find this part of an accessible entertainment experience for them. I mean, they may find it familiar if they see other sports.
That's the only thing. I can't imagine anybody would actually go to the game for this or like make, you know, it would, you know, lead
them
to
go. How about Diamond Girls at the Giants game where they come out and they brush off the plate and dance around?
Brush off the plate would be great.
There's just some sports that this doesn't fit.
It doesn't make any sense.
And I
like cross country. Like you don't need cross country cheerleaders. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you're in the middle of the woods.
At the fifth mile.
Yeah.
They're there. Squirting water everywhere. Dude, there are two more roster moves that we need to talk about.
Okay.
The trade today for Ty McGinn, dude. Third round pick to the Flyers for Ty McGinn. And my reaction instantly to you was, Jesus, you know, what the hell is going on? You know,
this is going young.
I know. And after doing a little bit more, my initial reaction was if the Flyers don't want him, then what the hell, like, why do we want him?
Right.
You know, and kind of looking at their situation, this guy's a restricted free agent and has only played about 36 total NHL games. He's been squeezed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any cap room. They couldn't re-sign this guy while they have to re-sign other things. So they had to move him. So
right.
I don't think they moved him because he's garbage. I think they moved him. They just don't have...
They don't have a spot.
A spot for him.
And they don't have money for him.
But it's just... It's hilarious that when you're looking at the Sharks' entire story here with Todd McClellan, he freaking hated Jamie McGinn.
Right, but come on. He's not his brother.
Dude, but come on. This is hilarious. If we're looking at the whole book here, right? Jamie McGinn gets given away for Winnick, who apparently the Sharks never wanted,
right,
and for T.J. Gagliardi, who is entering John Scott territory now,
yeah, yeah,
in terms of useless NHL players, and now his little bro is going to go hang out with T-Mac.
He's 23.
I know, dude. I'm just saying it's funny.
It is funny, but I mean, come on. History is riddled with brothers where one is good and one is not. Or
so
whatever.
If we're looking to get harder, faster,
mm-hmm,
this fits the bill.
Yeah.
And I will be very disappointed if Ty McGinn is not playing or given the opportunity to play 60, 70 games next year. Like,
yeah,
this is, if we're going to be a tomorrow team, then you let this kid have a crack at it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You gave up a third for him. If he was the captain of their AHL team, if he's the captain of the Worcester Sharks, this is a garbage move.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to be playing for the Sharks in order for this to be worth it.
I completely agree. We got to let these guys come in. We got to let these guys prove themselves. I mean, you know, to Evil Ducks, this is one of those young guys that we want to let him prove himself. We want to see, can Matt Nieto take the next step, be that, you know, steady second line player? Can these guys see, can Tomas Hertl play first line minutes consistently, you know, without blowing his knee out?
These are, if you're looking at a third line situation that you go, okay, I could tolerate a Freddie Hamilton, Torres, Ty McGinn third line.
Yeah.
If we are playing for the future, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
But if our roster is so mishmashed with confusion,
mm-hmm,
it's hard. It's going to be hard for them to go in that direction. We'll have to wait and see, dude. I'm trying to be patient.
Yes.
Our final move here is Taylor Fadun. Fadun.
Yeah.
Career was almost done. Yeah. Taylor Fadun when he broke his leg.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad story, dude. I mean, this kid undrafted out of Princeton, I think. He is in the Edmonton Oilers camp. It looks like he's going to make the team.
Right.
And in one of the final preseason games, he gets hit by Erik Nystrom on an icing play and shatters his leg. Right.
Yeah, it sucks.
And he's out for the year, and he was never able to really break in to that lineup again. He's only played four NHL games. He had two goals last year. Now, the concerning part is what?
Torrey Mitchell.
Well, I mean, the concerning part, I mean, maybe not his health, but if he's really not good enough to play for the Edmonton Oilers, how is he good enough to play for
us? Well, but here's your, but you provided me with a counter argument, which is if the Oilers don't want this guy, that definitely means he's good.
Yeah, because their logic is so back-assward.
Yeah, they can't seem to get the right
guy. If they don't like this guy, I love him.
I like him.
I love him.
I like him. So again, let's give him a shot. You know, when you hear about a guy shattering his leg, you don't like to hear stuff like that, especially since, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't think Torrey Mitchell is ever the same player again after he broke his leg.
Sure.
Hit in the post. You know, I'm certainly not excited to hear that, but
we'll see this guy.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
All right, dude. Where to next?
Dude, okay, so we got the Twitter, we got the emails. I guess, let's see where we are on time here.
Dude, who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Who cares? The listeners, we've been gone. People have been clamoring for a podcast, dude.
All right, dude. I guess we can talk about
general... Don't build walls around me, dude.
Dude, what do you think... Let's talk about the draft then.
Okay.
For, you know, 30, 40 seconds. was there anything useful? Yeah. Anything useful at the draft? Anything interesting at the draft? The only interesting thing to me is that the Sharks had the 20th pick and they traded down. What does that say to you?
Well, I think they wanted... Goldobin, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever his name is, right? Mm-hmm. Gold, G-O-L-D-O-B-I-N.
Goldobin. Goldobin. Yeah.
That's the guy they wanted, which, you know, read all kinds of different things about him. One saying that he's probably one of the most skilled players in the draft, and the other is that he, you know, has a knock for disappearing at times, and admittedly in his post-draft interview said he needs to work on his defense, which really wasn't very encouraging for, you know, two of the things that we're kind of looking to get rid of, you know, so
bringing
in a skill guy, but
I think I read something that said he
strange,
might...
We don't see the Sharks usually draft. I know this kid's been playing in North America. We don't usually see them draft a lot of Russian guys.
Right.
So, I don't know. I was surprised. I was surprised by that pick.
I know some people have emailed us over the years and said we need more people with individual skill. I thought I read something that said this guy might be the best stick handler in the draft. I was excited to see that. I mean, we don't have a lot of guys that... can create on their own one-on-one.
Right.
I think that would be a great weapon for the Sharks to have if they can get a guy like that.
And if this guy can be an effective winger, we have centers.
Yeah.
We have centers, right?
Plenty of them.
And I think maybe sometimes people forget that Tomáš Hertl is a center, you know? And if they leave him on the wing, fine. If they're going to have him play center with Pavelski on the wing, fine. But you're pretty deep down the middle where it counts right now with Joe...
Yeah,
you know, if we're counting him,
right,
and which we are, he's on the team,
yeah,
right?
Still,
because he refuses to leave.
Yeah,
but
hey,
so how fast this kid will be here, I don't know, you know, but if he's ready, you know, maybe sooner rather than later, dude. You know, maybe at the end of the year he'll be around, or at least be sniffing Worcester by then. The pick that it seems like people seem to really like is the guy we took in the fourth round, V-A-N-I-E-R,
Vanier.
Vanier?
Yeah.
The defenseman.
If it's French-Canadian, what's his last name?
Vanier.
Oh, okay. Vanier, what's his first name?
He's huge.
Okay.
Apparently a very strong, tough, offensive-minded defenseman who slipped down the board because he had shoulder surgery.
Okay.
And a lot of people think we got a second round player in the fourth round.
Nice. Okay.
And there was even an article written about it on NHL.com that could be one of the steals of the draft. So if that's the case, you know, that's a shrewd move by the Sharks, but the rest is so hard to know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's impossible.
Weird that the Sharks maybe went a little completely off the board, at least in terms of the hockey news to that draft. The Swedish defenseman that high in the second round, they didn't have him in his in the top 100, and they took him, you know, way higher than anybody expected. But who knows? Like you've said so many times, dude, it's such a crapshoot once you get outside the first round.
It really is. It really is. So not a very eventful draft day, but I guess, you know, after talking to Mark Purdy, that's to be expected. And now we're quickly on to the next major day of the hockey offseason calendar, which is UFA day. So, you know, John Scott, notwithstanding, maybe, you know, not the biggest signing, you know, since it was either here or Chipotle, but I'm glad he chose the Sharks.
That is such a great tweet.
That's brilliant. That is just really brilliant. I already like him a lot. Yeah, I feel guilty. I feel guilty for liking him already, but I do. I mean, those are two grade A top drawer tweets right there.
Right. I mean, I can feel the emails coming out. Do you want to win hockey games or do you want to be amused?
How dare you,
go
sir.
To the improv if you want to be amused.
Yeah.
Well, dude.
Dude, there's a lot of players moving around in this league, dude.
Do you think? Well, first, okay, it's taken us this long to get to DB22. DB22, 2 years, $9 million with the New York Rangers, dude. How do you feel?
I'm glad he went to a team where he's wanted. I'm glad he's going to be reunited with Marty St. Louis. I think they're good friends. You know, I'm glad he's going to a team, obviously, that is in a position to win the cup, you know, the Rangers being in the Stanley Cup finals and all. They lost Anton Strålman and they brought on DB22. And it's hard not to see that as an upgrade, especially on the power play. And, you know, if his health is as good as he says it is, I mean, I think they're going to reap pretty significant benefits. And at least from what we heard, he took less money to go to the Rangers. I think Detroit actually offered more.
Yeah, Detroit apparently offered 3 years and over $12 million. That's another issue is nobody wants to go to Detroit. Detroit got spurned by everybody again, you know, in this sort of free agent offseason. Nobody seems to want to go there, mainly because I don't think anybody wants to live there, right?
Yeah, it's terrible to say, but I mean, Detroit as a metropolitan area is in deep trouble,
right?
You know, from a civic perspective. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't say their hockey team matches that, but you have to think the major stars in that team are on the decline.
But they've got some good young players there, though.
They
dude.
Do.
I think that team, if they were able to get DB22 and, you know, or they gotten Matt Niskanen or something like that, like that team is they're a playoff team and they could be very dangerous next year if healthy. But I'm happy he's in New York.
I feel like that's
a situation that I can justify rooting for him.
Absolutely.
And feel good about it.
Absolutely.
It's hard to dislike the New York Rangers and that collection of players.
You picked he signed with the Ducks, and I'm so glad you were wrong.
God,
and I'm so glad you were really,
God.
Really wrong.
Yeah.
But they did get, I mean, they didn't need Dan Boyle because they got Casey Stoner. I'm sure that's what the Ducks are saying to themselves right now.
Congrats to DB22 and, you know, I admit I probably will be shopping for a Boyle New York Rangers shirt.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna stick with our boy. I'm a Sharks fan, but
you know
I'll
what's
represent,
funny?
Dude.
Is there not gonna, we're not gonna know if it's a Dan Boyle or a Brian Boyle because Brian Boyle wore 22.
Right. They exchanged for each other, dude. Should we do worst contract and then maybe take a look at our division and see who we think got made the best and worst moves?
What's,
I don't know.
What's the worst contract, dude?
That Dave Bolin contract's pretty terrible.
It's not good.
It's pretty bad.
I know we
like
Dave Bolin.
Dave Bolin.
I do too.
But 5 years at $5.5 million a year, you know, he's making more than Marion Gaborik. You know, it's ridiculous. And on a team like Florida, where, I mean, what realistically is Dave Bolin going to be expected to do, right?
Yeah.
He's, when healthy, one of the best third line centers and has not been healthy at all recently.
Right.
So his reward for basically missing an entire season was 5 years, $5.5 million from crazy Dale Talon.
Yeah, that I don't get that.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad one. I thought the Matt Niskanen deal was too much.
Right.
You know, I thought the Brooks Orpik deal was too much. Brooks Orpik's making $5.5 million.
Right. It makes that Vlasic deal look so sweet.
Yeah,
right?
That Vlasic deal looks awesome right now.
What's the best contract? The Mark Englund one is terrible.
You mean Derek Englund? You can't have a conversation about bad contracts without talking about Derek Englund, who is what, like a sort of a fighting defenseman who got almost $3 million a year for 3 years.
Right.
Like, this guy, if you quizzed me on whether he would be in the NHL next year, I probably would have said no. He probably wouldn't be in the league. So there were some really...
All right, best deal by a team. Best deal.
Best deal. Let's see. What can I say here?
I know my answer is easy to me.
Marcel Gotch? Kyle Quincy? Holy crap. Kyle Quincy. Wow. You got a lot of money. I haven't seen all of these yet, but...
I think the Ehrhoff contract by Pittsburgh,
that's
a brilliant move. And
yeah.
And
they got him for not very much money.
I guess for Ehrhoff, he's in a situation where he's going to be collecting piles and piles of cash from Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
for him to go out there and seek a Niskanen deal, could he have done that? Sure, he could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to go to Pittsburgh and step in there as their number three. Immediately,
mm-hmm.
and be in a position to have a real impact on a team that needs a player like him. So that's the best contract to me.
Yeah, that is a pretty good deal. I mean, I guess, let's see. I think there were some signings before. I guess, are we talking about only July 1st or?
Yeah, I mean, because you could go further back on the list, right? And
yeah.
Look at Ryan Callahan's contract.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal. And people kind of knocking him for taking less than what he asked for from the Rangers. But you got to remember, there's no state tax in Florida, right? So,
I mean,
he's going to be he's clearing more money probably in the end, right?
And in the same vein as Ehrhoff, getting Brad Richards for $2 million ain't a bad deal. For Chicago.
Yeah, same thing. He doesn't need the money. So
it's a good deal
going out
for
them. there and you know, attempting to fill that hole on their second line center with Brad Richards at $2 million is worth the gamble. Worth the gamble.
Yeah.
Are there any teams that you deem to be winners or losers, dude? Do you want to look at the whole NHL or do you want to take a look at our division exclusively?
Well, what do you think about our division, dude? I mean,
well,
I guess Casey Stoner, we can say the Ducks.
Well,
I
deem the Ducks as a huge winner in this week.
Because
getting Ryan Kesler.
They got Ryan Kesler.
And getting, I think, Nate Thompson. That's
mm-hmm.
Those are two good moves, dude.
Yeah.
And the Stoner contract is a little goofy.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's extra defenseman. You give me $3 million for a team that has already a bunch of defensemen. You know,
right.
I mean, they've got Boschman. They've got Surrey. They've got Fowler. They've got the two Lindholm and Vanenen and Brian Allen. I mean,
right.
Maybe they're going to be moving somebody, but you know, Stoner just seems like a redundant part to me. But when the Ducks got better, they got significantly better,
mm-hmm.
and
the Stars got better.
The Stars,
they got Spezza.
Right. They're not in our division anymore, dude.
Oh yeah.
You know?
I'm so used to that.
But yeah, I mean the Stars, they're better. I love the Spezza trade. I'm not wild about the term on Hemsky, 3 years, $12 million.
Yeah.
I'm not wild about that, but that could end up being a great move in a situation where Hemsky's not the guy there, right? I mean,
no.
He's gonna be not even the second guy, the third, fourth, fifth. He's like the sixth option there.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the Lindback signing there. That's terrible.
Yep.
That guy was I can't even believe that somebody gave him a gig for how bad he was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like he was so bad.
Yeah.
That's their insurance policy they already have a fragile goalie and Lindback is their insurance policy.
Yeah.
That could backfire majorly for them.
Well, dude, what are the Kings didn't really do a whole heck of a lot, did they?
They didn't do anything.
Willie Mitchell left.
Yeah, Willie Mitchell left, but I mean, for them, are you going to give him $4.5 million or whatever he got?
Absolutely not.
They don't need to do that. So, they're status quo. They don't need to do anything. They're the champs, you know?
That's right.
They don't need to do anything. Sharks, we know, are huge losers.
Yeah.
And Edmonton, terrible. Yet again, just terrible. I mean, they're overpaying. This could be the worst contract, the $4.5 million for Nikita Nikitin.
Yeah, that's bad.
Just so bad. Just a terrible deal for a guy who is, you know, maybe a third pairing defenseman is, you know, bad. Mark Fain is not a bad player, but he's not going to fix anything there. Benoit Pouliot, that's a bad contract too.
Yeah.
So, and their trade of, let's talk about this.
Wow, you got, holy crap. That's a lot of money for Benoit Pouliot. Jeez.
Dude, let's talk about the bizarre trade of Sam Gagner twice within like 30 minutes.
I don't understand that at all. What happened?
Sam Gagner was traded from the Oilers to Tampa Bay straight up for Teddy Purcell. Okay. And then a tweet comes out from Tampa Bay saying that they're going to buy out Sam Gagner. And then it's deleted immediately. All right.
Okay.
And then, but there's still word being buzzed around that that's what they're going to do. They're going to buy out Sam Gagner, which doesn't make any sense. So why did you trade one guy for another just to buy him out? Yeah. I don't understand that.
Right.
And then they end up trading Gagner and BJ Krombien to Arizona. Arizona.
Yeah.
For a sixth.
The hell?
And that was the deal. So Tampa never wanted him. They wanted to clear salary cap space. But what I don't understand is, why don't you just buy out Purcell then?
Yeah.
And why did you go?
So they basically traded Purcell for a sixth, essentially.
Right. Well, and so that they could go out and make a ton of signings. I mean, they spent that money on Brian Boyle. They spent that money on Nabby. They spent that money on acquiring Garrison. They spent that money on keeping Ryan Callahan, on adding Anton Strahlman. Now, Tampa Bay got better for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got better.
I've always liked Brian Boyle. I don't know why.
Oh, I do too.
I like Brian Boyle. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable term, and that's a reasonable salary for Brian Boyle, in my opinion. 3 years, $2 million a year.
And that's forgetting. I mean,
that's very manageable.
They have their top pick who didn't even play, right?
Yeah.
Duran?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So he's coming next year, right?
Yeah.
So you think about that shot in the arm. But Tampa Bay is,
they could be going places,
you know,
and they got Strahlman, obviously.
For a team that I was wondering what I was really questioning what Eisman was doing, I think he showed himself in this last 2 weeks as having a good beat on what he needs to do to be competitive. So good on him, dude. Arizona, I mean, getting Sam Gagner, I mean, whatever. Hey, your favorite guy, Mike Ribeiro, got bought out, dude.
Hey!
For being a behavioral issue.
So shocking. So shocking. I never would have guessed it. And he hasn't been signed as of yet, so he's still out there. I'm sure someone will take him for something.
I had read that Calgary was offering to take like players like Cam Ward and Mike Ribeiro in exchange for draft picks, and Ribeiro wouldn't waive to go to Calgary. So he'd rather be bought out, than go to Calgary. So
he'd rather make less money.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to get that money anyways. I mean, Mike
no, Ribeiro, you don't make 100% of your salary.
Well, I mean, but
you make like 2/3 or something.
So he'll make 2/3 of it and sit at home and
Calgary did some dumb things. I mean, they obviously signed Derek Englund, the aforementioned Derek Englund.
They signed Mason Raymond for 3 years, thought was stupid, and and they traded for a bowl league.
And they got Jonas Hiller for $4.5 million a year.
Yeah, what? That's some bad moves there.
Yeah, they're not looking any better right now.
No, I mean, that's a team, like, at the end of the year last year when they were playing all their young guys, they were better than Edmonton.
Yeah.
I mean, they were winning games. They were tough to play against. They were much more interesting. And now you're adding, like, a bunch of weird veteran garbage to the mix. Like, you're not adding anybody's going to help the situation.
Totally agree. All right, dude. Well, I guess...
Are we forgetting any teams? Vancouver, dude.
Oh, Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Well, they traded Ryan Kesler, and they got... Spisa and Nick Bonino and a first. Yeah.
So, I'll circle back to this in a second. They trade Jason Garrison basically as a salary dump.
Yeah.
Now today they signed,
signing to begin with.
They signed Radim Verbata today.
Yeah.
2 years, $10 million. They, signed Ryan Miller.
Oh yeah. That's
Ryan
right.
Ryan Miller, 3 years, 18.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, they brought in somebody else too. They have a new coach.
Bobby Sanguinetti? No.
No.
You don't care about that?
No, anyways.
hard to keep
this
track
is
of
an
this.
Example of a team that is, the GM came in, identified some of the problems, decided this team had enough to continue to try and be competitive. And if you're Vancouver right now and you're looking at what the Sharks are doing, you're going, okay, well, we've leapfrogged the Sharks.
Yeah, we're better than those guys.
So they feel like they're... back in the playoff mix now, right?
I mean, sure.
They can feel like, well, if the Ducks and Kings have separated themselves from everybody else, which they have.
Yes.
1-2. If you're looking at 3, it's not Edmonton. It's not Arizona.
Right.
You know, it's not...
Calgary.
Calgary.
Yeah.
So now you're looking at Vancouver and the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And... if you're going to put these teams side by side right now and the sort of general mojo that's going on in both situations, you've got to lock Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
So I think they're a team that's getting it right now. Like they're getting it right in terms of kind of purging themselves of some problems and bringing in some useful pieces in the process. Would you have accepted Nick Bonino, Spisa, and a first for Joe? If that had happened, would that have been an acceptable return for a fan?
I mean, for a regular fan?
For you. Like, for you,
me,
dude, I'm
I
asking you.
For me, I wouldn't be so excited because I think neither of those guys are top. Because keep in mind, the first round pick is going to be a late round pick. Okay.
Right.
So mid-20s. And neither Nick Bonino nor Luke Spisa are considered to be... top shelf prospects guaranteed to be good NHL players.
Right.
So no, I don't think I would be happy with that return. I guess Vancouver got what they could get for Kesler, and you know, they got two guys that people have heard of, so that kind of makes it look good. But I'm not so sure this deal is actually as good for Vancouver as it initially appears.
So what about the return that Ottawa got for Jason Spezza? Would that have been a more attractive package?
They got Corey Dillon, didn't they?
No.
And they got Dillon.
No.
They didn't?
No. They got Alex Chiasson, who is a year ago was their second rated prospect. He played in the NHL last year. I think he had 30 points or something like that. Alex Chiasson, two prospects, one of which I think was ranked number 9 by Hockey Prospectus, and the other one is not, and a second.
Mm-hmm.
So three young players, one who is NHL ready, one who is, I don't know, and one who isn't even registering on the radar.
Yeah.
And then a second.
That's more the kind of players that I would want. Mm-hmm. These guys that you think will turn into great players. Because I'm not so sure anyone really thinks Spisa or Bonino will turn into great players.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the second deal would be more along the lines for what the Sharks would be looking for.
Okay.
So anyway.
Well, we'll see. It's not going to matter because Joe's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of, we're looking back at the draft. I mean, if we've heard over and over again from pundits around the league saying, you know, teams are asking about Joe. Dallas apparently asked about Joe, right?
Right.
And he said no. You know, Nashville now apparently asking about Joe, saying no. Detroit's no. You know what I mean? Like, so teams that were looking for centers have gone out and made their moves.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis signing Paul Stastny, right?
They paid a lot for him.
That, and I don't like that contract.
I don't like that contract either. I think Paul Stastny, frankly, is slightly overrated.
Yeah, that could be a bust.
I think Colorado made a good move not trying to keep him.
Oh, let's talk about Colorado, dude.
Yeah.
A team that has just completely shifted gears a little bit here in the middle of such an encouraging run by such a young nucleus, and now they've got Ryan O'Reilly flapping in the breeze again as a restricted free agent. They went through all that whole thing where they totally alienated him last time, and they now they've got him unsigned, and they go out and spend a ton of money on Jerome Iginla. They bring in Brad Stewart, and they trade P.A. Parentale for Danny Briere.
I know, weird, right? So this is sort of like, okay, we can make the playoffs and make a run right now. That's what this says, right?
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Briere and Iginla, is there another way to interpret that?
I think this
that?
Is a mistake.
Absolutely.
I think it's a mistake. I think that
maybe
they...
you get one of those three guys.
Right.
You get one of those three guys, probably not Iginla because he's too expensive. Maybe you take Briere and say, hey, you know, you can be the guy to shepherd these guys into the next stage of their careers. And
but is Briere really even still an effective NHL player?
I think he's an effective player, but he's not going to be... sort of, he's not like in the Iginla statue, you know, like mold where Iginla's like the captain, like this, you know, a guy everybody looks up to. And, you know, he goes on to these other teams and he's sort of like not so much as like, you know, Ray Bourque going to Colorado, but sort of like a similar thing, like elder statesman, very well respected. I don't think Briere sort of has that cachet. So you don't necessarily like need to say, okay, well, we got to really be careful with this guy. It's like, yeah, Briere, you put him on the third line. If he sucks, who cares? You can't really do that with Iginla. It's like Iginla is like a star.
Right.
I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner with that. So I think they get more flexibility with Briere than with Iginla. So yeah, I think getting all three of those guys is a mistake. You gotta let the young guys play. That's
right.
They got three great young players. You gotta let them go.
I think another team that made some very bizarre moves in the last week is Montreal. They treat Josh Georges like garbage.
Yeah.
And run him out of town.
Yep.
And then they let their captain walk. And then both these guys end up in Buffalo, which is funny in itself. Just because Buffalo is still going to continue to be terrible. But they both end up in another team. And now you have a team like Montreal that kind of had like the feel good, like overachiever kind of vibe.
Right.
And now you've got this vibe around the team that's like, ew. Like, so they let their captain walk and one of their longest standing players.
Yeah.
They basically forced him out of town.
Yeah. They're like, right? We're going to ship you.
So I guess, I mean, it's just, it's also...
And then they signed Tom Gilbert.
Right. And that's who they signed to replace him, right?
Yeah, Tom Gilbert.
And this is a team, this is a different situation than what the Sharks are in. Because some people might be listening to this going, well, how is this different than what the Sharks are trying to do to Joe? That's another example. Hey, if you want to move somebody, you can make it happen, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You can make it. You could do what Bergevin did, which maybe that's what Doug Wilson needs to do.
Right.
In order to...
I think he's trying to avoid it.
That's he's trying to avoid it. And it does make him look like kind of a, you know...
A douche. Yeah.
But it achieves what he wants. But the funny thing is, okay, so you get rid of Josh Georges and you replace him with Tom Gilbert?
Yeah.
That's the upgrade?
Yeah. That doesn't make
bizarre.
Any sense.
Bizarre. Yeah. I find that to be bizarre. And I thought what New Jersey did yesterday was super bizarre.
Yeah.
Mike Cavallari, 5 years, $25 million, and then Martin Havlat? What the heck?
I don't know.
And then they let another defenseman walk away. So now I don't even know who's playing defense for them anymore. I have no clue. Of course, Schneider's probably calling Martin Berger going, you want to come back? Because I don't even know who's on this team anymore.
Yeah. He's like, I forgot who we have.
Strange. Strange mix, dude.
All
and
right. Well, an interesting July 1st, I'd say. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
At least we got Travis Oleksik, dude. Signed him.
We already had him,
but we re-signed him.
Who's still out there? Let's just go really quickly up and see. I know David Legwand is still unsigned. Your buddy Mike Ribeiro is still unsigned. Danny Heatley. Unsigned. Shocker.
Daniel Alfredson. Ryan Malone. Villy
Leno. You're looking down this list of players, dude.
Yeah.
Who on this list would you actually look at and go, gosh, I'm surprised he's still sitting here without a job?
There's a few of these guys. I'm actually a little surprised Steve Ott is still in the market.
That's the name that jumps out to me, too.
I thought Steve Ott would be taken by now.
But his...
I thought
his,
someone would take a flyer on Delzato, although maybe he's wanting too much money. I would take a flyer on Delzato if I was in a different position than the Sharks were, but...
Well, it's actually, let's say, isn't Delzato exactly the kind of guy who the Sharks should be looking? He's 24.
Right.
He's got a high talent ceiling, although maybe there's something wrong with this guy. I mean,
speaking of something wrong with this guy, Daniel Winnick is also available. And, you know, we love this guy. Like, we, and the Ducks had him for a couple years, and they're like, yeah, why don't you just get out?
Yeah.
I think there's something weird about Daniel Winnick. I don't know what it is. I mean, remember the Sharks got him. Everybody liked him. Everybody thought he played pretty well. And then the Sharks were like, yeah, we're not going to keep you.
Right.
It was just sort of like one of those things. Yep, we're not going to offer him anything. And then he goes to the Ducks, and he's out with the Ducks, and the Ducks are like, yeah, we're not going to offer him anything. I mean, I don't have any firsthand knowledge whatsoever about Daniel Winnick.
It is bizarre.
It's weird, right? Because this guy has been a really effective defensive player for a long time, and you would think a guy like that would catch on.
Are we just a Devin Setoguchi signing away from being on complete team right now?
I think there's no chance that we get Devin
Setoguchi. Dude.
No chance.
You don't know what kind of sweat hut Doug Wilson's in right now.
That's true.
Having some sort of hallucination about Devin Setoguchi being back.
Hanzus, dude. Still available. Scott Hannon. So there was noise about Scott Hannon. Do you think Scott Hannon's coming back?
Based on what's been happening, probably.
I see.
You know,
I'm not so sure now. I think if they were going to sign him, they would have done it already. I mean, if they really wanted him, you think he's really had like a lot of pings from other teams in this roll up to July 1st? I don't think people are exactly beating down his door. He's like, you offer me a contract that has some zeros at the end, I'll take it.
Well, maybe that's, I mean, there's no rush. What's the rush?
I suppose.
You know?
They could do the tryout.
I don't want Scott Hannon back. And again, nothing against Scott Hannon.
No.
I thought he did a solid job.
He did better than I expected.
Solid job.
Yeah.
Okay? But I would rather see, at this point, if we're going with tomorrow team, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see Taylor Doherty. I'd Absolutely. Rather see Matt Tennyson. I'd rather see Mirko Mueller. I'd rather see freaking, what's his face? Broken leg guy.
Yeah.
Taylor Fadun.
Broken leg guy.
I'd rather see that guy. You know, I think we're going to try to assess the future of this team by taking a step backwards, you know, playing Scott Hannon every night is a step backwards in the wrong, you know, that's an unproductive step backwards, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we should go get Chris Bartz, though, and Dan Carcillo.
I'm sitting by my fireplace and drinking a snifter and complaining about my
contract.
I gotta feed my family.
I gotta put food on the table. Oh my God. My call's Eric, dude.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's a
off season of a different feel for Sharks fans.
It's
that's for
painful,
sure,
dude. It's painful.
Yeah,
I think it would be easier for people to stomach if we felt like the message that has been relayed to the fans of a rebuild was actually being implemented.
Right,
and that
there seems to be a disconnect.
There, it seems to be. On one hand, the right hand is doing a rebuild while the left hand is doing, I don't even know what.
Yeah.
Is this on a one-way ticket to Crazy Town?
Yeah, it's, yeah, this, the left hand is signing John Scott. So,
anyway. Dude, are we over an hour?
We are.
Yes!
All right, dude, we got to go.
Okay.
We got to finally end this thing. Thanks for all your emails and tweets. We'll be back again next week. Talk about the Sharks.
Oh, prospect game. We'll talk after the prospect game. We'll be there. Let us know if you're going to be there. We'll say hey.
Okay. Dude, that John Scott Twitter account's a parody account.
Damn it, dude. I hate him. I hate him again.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.